This is the Out of Time Film Podcast, where your hosts, Tom and John, discuss everything from blockbuster films to TV and games like there's no tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the Out of Time Film Podcast. My name is Tom, and as always, I'm joined with my co-host, John.
Hi.
And this week we're talking about Fallout Season 1.
Season 1? Yeah, so it got renewed for Season 2. But Tom, this is a monumental time, you know, because this is a favorite game of ours. This is something that we talked about for years, especially about the opening sequences in Fallout 4. And I love that so much with my heart. I loved exploring the wastelands, the different factions, and different vaults as well. And I completely forgot about the lore about Fallout when I went to the show, because it was just so much better just experience this world again and realizing about, you know, oh, this happened in 2077 when the bombs dropped, but also just how deep and layered as well, like the world building is insane in Fallout, which we'll get into. So yeah, what did you think about this, Tom?
I'm in the same boat. I loved Fallout 4. Just play. I'm pretty sure you came around to my house one time and I showed you that opening.
Yes, you did.
And it truly is just a transformer. You know, like, at least in my experience, gaming was Lego games and Minecraft and Mario. Yeah. And I think the furthest I'd ever got into adult video game was like the Arkham series, Batman Arkham. Love those. But then Fallout 4, it just hit something completely different that I was unexpecting.
Yes.
And we've done a fair amount of video game adaptations on the pod. We've done, you know, Sonic and Mario. And is that it? I feel like that might be. Oh, we did Uncharted.
Yeah,
that's right. That was the less said about
one
that
one. One of my favorite gaming franchise. And we don't talk about that. But,
no, we don't
but
want to.
Fallout, it did the impossible, because video game adaptations are quite a trend right now. We have Sonic, we have Uncharted, but we have the upcoming Woodland as well, you know, that's coming out. We will talk about that. But with video game adaptations in the past, they haven't done that well, to be honest. But here in Fallout, it's something that feels alive, that feels exciting to see this. And what they've done differently about this is that they've explored something completely different that Bethesda said. This TV show is just an installment, just another installment, which is so good, because what video game adaptations do is that they try to recreate rather than add new things to it. I mean, new characters or new that, but this, cannot wait to get into it.
Absolutely. I think that this show, it was almost destined to fail in my mind. You know, had Halo, which I haven't seen Halo, but I have not heard a single good thing about Halo. John is moving further and further away right now. You can't move too far. I see your wire. You can't move that far away.
Yes.
You're tethered by your headphones.
Yeah.
Halo, I love Halo so much, and that show clearly doesn't hit that vibe. You have something like The Last of Us as well, which, again, I haven't seen, but apparently that one's fantastic. I feel like in many ways, the tide of video game adaptations are turning. I mean, you know, we are huge Sonic fans over here. I can't wait for Knuckles next week, which we will be doing on the pod, don't you? I know you're I know you're sitting there, you're listening, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, are they going to do Knuckles? Yes, we are. I'm so excited for that. I'm so excited for many things.
That.
Yeah, this is really, you know, Sonic 3 is coming later this year. For so long, it was like video game adaptations are the worst, but it's changing. And I think Fallout, they bloody nailed it. We've got the iconography, the imagery, the aesthetic, it's all here. And we've got the purest of Fallout vibes. And for some people, that would be enough. You know, I could take that and I could have a fun enough time. But then this show actually turned out to be fantastic.
Very good.
It's just a revelation. I was so surprised. You know, I think...
Yeah.
I think Amazon Prime genuinely has some of the best stuff going right now, you know, with Invincible and The Boys and Rings of Power and Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and with Fallout, all these shows I think are fantastic, and none of them are ever what I expected them to be, and I mean that as such a compliment. This goes right alongside, you know, I think it was this morning when I read that Season 2 is announced, I was like, this is brilliant. This is going to be so great. Like, I'm so excited to see where this story goes. And I think that it did not miss a beat. It didn't pull a punch. It was right on the money.
Yes, right on the money. And it is truly Fallout. Should we get into the spoilers of Fallout?
Let's do it.
Hell yeah. So, in a future post-apocalyptic Los Angeles brought about by a nuclear decimation, citizens must live in underground bunkers to protect themselves from radiation, mutants, and bandits. Wow. Okay. So
nice. Very, very simple introduction to Fallout there.
Yes. Those who aren't aware about Fallout, it is a game series. And what the show's done is that they've worked closely with the game developers, Bethesda Studios, I think. And they've really took care what Fallout is meant to be, you know, with the aesthetics, with the world of Fallout. They closely looked into the lore of it, and it just made it so alive, like a self-realized world, and it just made it so exciting to watch. It's just what I wanted to have another show like this. Like, I didn't want the show to end. That's how amazing the show was. It's just like you were along the ride with these characters, and it's just, oh, there's so much to talk about. Where about you, Tom? Where do you want to start?
Well, I think you kind of say that you don't want this show to end. And I think that one of the things that I was disappointed about by this show, and not about the show itself, but about something that we talk about quite a lot, actually, it's the release model.
Yes,
they dropped this whole show at once again.
Why wasn't it weekly?
I don't know.
That would have generated so much hype. Honestly, what the show is doing is that it's building so much anticipation in such an amazing way. It's like building up like each episode, and you find out so much about the characters, but also about the vaults, but also about the wasteland, about Los Angeles itself. And weekly would have made it so exciting. It's just baffling. I don't know why Amazon didn't think of that, because The Boys did that. The Boys had it weekly. Rings of Power. Yeah, Rings of Power did it weekly. So I just don't know what was that about.
Yeah, the thing is that there are so many shows that when they're released weekly, they leave an impact culturally. I think of X-Men 97 right now that's happening that I hear is fantastic. And every week there is a boom of people talking about it and gushing about how great it is. This show could have had that, but we're almost a week through. Actually, I think we are, as of recording this, it's been a week since the series dropped. And already I can see the cultural conversation kind of taking a bit of a nosedive. You know, I even question if there's going to be any interest in this video that we're about to drop, you know, because it's a week later. It feels like everybody watched it, they binged it, and then that was it. I think The Last of Us was also weekly, and that, again, every week was doing something so different and interesting, and people were really responding to that. I remember when I finished episode 6, you get all those reveals in Vault 4 and level 12 and all these experiments, people in cryo, and the person who's giving birth to these like mutated creatures. And I was like, this is brilliant. This is such an interesting expansion. The episode ended, and I just wished that I could just sit there for a week. And in fairness, I did, you know, I gave myself a day before I watched episode 7, but I wish that I could just like leave of that and just think about it for ages, because it's not always good to just get the next part of the story immediately. You've got to sit with those meanings and really get, and that's especially when it's a TV show, like, you know, like, let's really take a moment. And I hope that when season 2 comes out, especially now that season 1 has been such a hit, let's take a breath and keep on going. But, like, you know, honestly, like, that's a criticism, but I can't stress enough how much that, it doesn't really matter, because the show is just brilliant. I think it gives depth to all manners of side features in the games. Like, you know, the games are very, very detailed, and they really give an opportunity to go into numerous things, but here we get to see things that I never thought of. Like, you know, the Vault Dwellers, we kind of look at, like, how they are societies that are brainwashed into a sanitized way of life that favors the rich and excludes the poor. And on the other side, we have the ghouls, who for me were just kind of a side feature in the game. But now we see these people who are slowly rotting and trying to, you know, just feel something after they've spent so long withering away. You know, the main ghoul, he's longing for his past life as he's turning into this mindless monster. And then we have the Brotherhood of Steel, who before, cool people in armor with these airships. But now we see how they, you know, they boast order and duty above all else. But they also raise selfish and power-hungry people who essentially just warmongers and, you know, only live for that conflict. I mean, none of this is really explored in the games, but it's all really, really compelling to actually get into here.
Yeah, and the best thing about the show is that you get to see this clash of the ideology of different factions. I mean, the Brotherhood of Steel, who are, you know, what you said, as warmongers, and they also just have this idea of, you know, reclaiming America. They want to have something to take back, but in such a violent way. And then the ghouls, they live in the past of what was America supposed to be, because they were left behind. You know, there's this different classes, and the Vault Dwellers, they they've been living in the vaults for centuries, and it's like they have a really disorientating reality, because in the lore in Fallout is that they have different experiments in each vault, which is like so terrifying to think about. Like, after apocalyptic nuclear holocaust just happened, and now you're going to an experiment, and it's so terrifying to think about. And then what the show does emphasize so well is the monopoly of ending of the world. You know, they want to use that as fear among the people, civilization, but also try to use the vaults as a way of paradise. So again, this is such a terrifying concept to think about, and what the show does to succeed that, it's money. They're trying to capitalize on time, but also fear, especially in the meeting where they talk about what they're going to do for each of the vaults. But also, you get to see some of the characters in the past Fallout games. They were the key figures for those vaults, and one of the quotes they said, "War never changes." That hit me in the face. It was like, oh wow, this is looking at the human nature in Fallout, and it was just this cycle of death.
Yeah, I mean, there are loads of moments that, as a Fallout fan, I was pointing at the screen. I was like, wow, it's this thing. It's that. I remember one episode, somebody mentions Radaway, and I was like, Radaway, I remember that.
Radaway!
Yeah, it's brilliant to have those little details. But then you get hit with the war never changes quote twice in that final episode, and it's brilliant. I think what's so fascinating is, you know, we have these three protagonists. You know, we've got Lucy, you've got Maximus, you've got the ghoul. And all three of those characters are or were brainwashed at some point. You know, the ghoul is the character who was brainwashed before the bombs fell and who realized this horrible truth, you know, this thing that is scary and very real. What we find out about Vault Tech is so devastatingly impactful because you can see it happening in this world. There's a moment where in that meeting you're talking about, somebody says, oh yeah, we could experiment. We could try and make super soldiers out of illegal immigrants. And you think to yourself, if some politicians in our world had that power, that is the kind of thing they would want to do with illegal immigrants that they believe should be nothing but lab rats. I was saying this before we started recording, but I have a little bit of Vault Tech merch. I've got a little like card holder. I've always really liked it. I think it's cool. I remember I once saw a guy in a shop and he was like, oh yeah, that's Vault Tech. Oh, I love Fallout. And we kind of bonded. Now I'm like, oh my god, this is horrible. Like, I'm horrified by the fact that I own this thing.
Oh my god. And then Pip-Boy as well, the character, what we see in all of the Vault Tech advertisements, is that one big detail is that his thumbs. So it's about the mushroom cloud. It's like, if it's bigger than your thumb from a distance, well, you're going to die with that. But it's that idea of they're using that as a way, hey, you're going to be safe. So buy a vault today, you know, that type of thing. It's just like, again, these characters, they are very layered and they have so much conflict inside. You know, they have something to relate to. With the ghoul, he lost the past, you know, he lost who he was. He's human. He was human and he lost the world of what he believed in. And then we have Maximus, such an interesting character. I really think that he is a very flawed character, but he has this sense of who he wants to be. That's his identity. He's trying to find identity in this. And it's like the Brotherhood is trying to get him to be this strong character, no empathy. And I think that Fallout is trying to emphasize that there's a lot of despair and no hope for these characters in that world. It does emphasize that so well.
He just wants to be in a robe and eat popcorn and watch a waterfall on a TV.
Yeah.
Like, he just wants to be happy, but he's never been given that chance in his life.
Yeah. And then we have Lucy, who I think is such a brilliant character in this series. She's so civilized and very unaware of her surroundings, of what the wasteland is like. And one of my favorite interactions was when she was meeting one of the people in the surface where she had a gun. He was like, hello, hi, how are you doing? And it's just like, she has a gun and she's like trying to be kind, but also trying to be kind of aware of that. And then her progression as a character is so devastating because she finds out more about the truth about the wastelands and about her father. And that's how you make such layered and conflicting characters. It's amazing how they've done that.
Yeah, where we find Lucy at the beginning and where she ends up at the end is so soul-destroying. You know, what she goes... Because she's, as you say, she's brought up to be kind, optimistic. She's very altruistic. And then we put her in this merciless wasteland where she has to confront the realities of, you know, murder, which sometimes is the only option to survive. It's interesting because in the games, you as the player, you don't think twice before killing enemies. It's not a moral choice. you know, you don't have to deal with actually taking someone's life. You see somebody in the wasteland, you're like, ba-ba-bang, ba-bang, 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 because, you know...
If you see a deathclaw.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, if they come out of nowhere, and you're just like, oh, God. Like, you know, it's not that moral choice. But here we see how a vault dweller might actually respond. We don't really, I don't think anyone's ever really considered that. The whole conspiracy that unravels with Vault 33 and Norm is also very, very compelling to watch. The fact that Vault-Tec literally dropped the bombs to construct the perfect market for their product, the vaults, that is just a brilliant reflection of corporate greed and selfishness to the max.
Yeah.
It's the American dream at its peak. But it's also at its worst. It's like, you know, you follow something like capitalism to the extreme. It's terrifyingly real, as I said before. It's like you're saying about Pip-Boy, right? Pip-Boy is this figure who, you know, is a thumbs up, you know, like, great, like, you know, doing this stuff in the games. Here we see Pip-Boy is actually the ghoul. Who the ghoul used to be was this actor who became this figurehead for Vault-Tec, who became this guy, you know, whose thumbs up meant so much more than what we ever thought. And you think about the first episode of the series, someone's like, hey, bro, do the thumbs up. And he's like, no, I don't want to do the thumbs up, because he knows now what's behind all of that. And it's a show that didn't need to go as hard as it does.
Yes,
but it really
exactly.
does. It didn't need to go this far. It didn't need to make a world that is already fun to play around with, to watch characters. You know, it could have been a very simple story, but they made it have this really terrifying commentary on reality. And at the same time, you know, we do have the regular staples of Fallout. There's some really great action. And from episode one, the gore is front and center. Somebody gets killed by a door closing and it's glorious. But all of that is layered in. As a fan of Fallout, it was really interesting to be challenged. You know, it wasn't what I expected. I wasn't just kind of like having fan service the whole time. I was being challenged. And then they play the Fallout 4 theme in episode 6, and I was
that
just like,
moment,
this is the greatest
oh my
thing.
God, when she found the flag, like brilliant, when she found the brilliant. flag, and it's like it all connects together with Shady Sands and with the whole lore behind it, and then that theme, oh my God, that brings me back like so many
come on, man.
Like seeing that, and you know, the menu, so good. Oh my God, it's just like what ties Fallout together so well is like, once you know about the games, it brings a lot of meaning to you about you as a player, but also it just has a lot of weight on you, you know, once you find about the world, and it's so terrifying. For example, in Fallout 4, a bit of spoilers, but once you met the Vault-Tec rep that introduced you into the game, he talks about Vault-Tec, about like how it's going to save you. And then 200 years after the bombs drop in Fallout 4, you meet him again as a ghoul. And that was so devastating because he didn't know there was cryogenics in the vault. So again, Fallout never shies away from the soul-destroying moments. And that really reminded me in that moment where the ghoul meets another ghoul, and then he was about to lose his human side, and then he got killed. He was having such a great talk about what was life like, having amazing food, and then he gets killed by the ghoul. But it's just like moments like that to have some hope, but also some soul-destroying reality to it.
Yeah, and the fact that it exists in the universe, like you said, that just makes it so much richer. I think about something like Star Wars, for instance, where, you know, you've got the films and the films are great, but it's all the expanded media that adds so many layers. Like, you know, I could never watch something like A New Hope the same way, because you've got the prequels, because you've got the Clone Wars, because you've got Obi-Wan Kenobi, those things all adding these layers. And, you know, it'd be fine if they just decided to make a TV show for Fallout that wasn't connected to the games, but it is connected to the games. I will never play Fallout 4 the same again, knowing all this stuff, knowing how Vault-Tec used all these people and knowing why the bombs actually dropped.
Yeah,
that is so fascinating.
Yeah, it's just brilliant to think about it. And then after I watched the TV show, I went back to YouTube and then we watched all the lore videos, and it just made me realize how expansive this world is. So I'm really thankful that they didn't do like a recreation of one of the games. And one of the best things that I was really happy with was the production design for the creatures, for the mutants, for the ghouls. But one of my favorite one was, like, I think it was CGI, but you know, the robot Codsworth, you know, the one with the arms, and that brought back so many memories to Fallout 4. I was like, oh my God, yeah, it's him.
Voiced
it's
by him. Matt Berry as well.
I did not know that.
What a treat.
I did not know that.
Oh, God.
Until that episode came in, I was like, wait a minute, I know that voice. I know that voice. It was the party scene and it's him. I was like, oh my God, it is that voice. It just brings so much joy and to think about what Fallout is supposed to be.
It is so brilliant. The production quality is great. I agree with you about the, you know, the prosthetics, and so much of it is shot on location as well, which was fantastic.
Fantastic.
It all felt so real, so tangible. No volume in sight. And that was so brilliant. And I was so thrilled.
Yeah,
I was so thrilled just how it looked and how it felt. It was just brilliant. Like when we saw the Brotherhood of Steel for the first time, we see the big suits of armor.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, we see them in like a kind of a wide shot, I think. And I was like, oh no, these are going to be CGI, aren't they? And they're not. Most of the time, they're practical, they're real. And that's fantastic. I've seen some behind the scenes shots and like, you know, they're using them, they built these things. That's so refreshing. Other shows wouldn't even bother. How many films in the MCU have just CGI'd Iron Man's armor? So many. We haven't had a practical Iron Man suit basically since the first film. But here's Fallout making one of the most beautiful suits and adaptations of those suits that I've ever seen, and it works so brilliantly. When we did Rings of Power on the podcast, we got a comment that was like, how come you care so much about the practical orcs? And it's like, because it's cool when things aren't CGI. It's cool when things, when they try hard and when the prosthetics
work,
real. And when the
makeup, it makes it
exactly,
real.
Exactly, like, you know, these things, they mean something, you know, like stories are so much more than just like their writing. And obviously I'm not saying that those elements aren't big deals, and obviously we're grateful to have a Fallout show with great writing and with great production, but it was just great when it does seem like there's a lot of streaming shows that do feel like really nothing-y, and it feels like a breath of fresh air from some of those other shows, some of those other live action streaming shows. And I'm just really thrilled about that. The whole thing, like, it reminded me of Arcane, which is another fantastic video game
show.
Adaptation.
We recommend it. We recommend it.
Yes,
very good.
That is amazing. I've never played League of Legends, but experiencing that world for the first time through that show and this, you know, this really great 8 or so episodes of storytelling that is also wrapped up in all this lore, I loved it so much. I had
so fantastic.
Such a fantastic time. Yeah.
And the story in Fallout for the show, they didn't shy away of how unpredictable it was. They didn't drop the ball on anything. It just kept it consistent. Like, there was no fillers, but we got to see some really amazing characterization. It's a very character-driven show, I would say. You know, you get to see Lucy. She gets to find out the truth about her father.
Dude, that scene was incredible. That realization, and when she finds out who her mum is.
I had no words to say. I was just like, what?
Yeah.
No way. And they've done so much visual imagery, like, just keeps you going and it makes you think about what's going to happen with these characters. It never drops the ball. It doesn't spoon feed you. That's the best thing. It just keeps you thinking about the world. And that's how I felt when I played the games. It constantly made me look around the world or the wastelands and what the world was supposed to be like, you know, before the bombs dropped. And it just has so much visual imagery that is so powerful and impactful. That one of my favorite sequences in the show was when the raiders infiltrated Vault 33, and then when the projector gets burned, that recreated the idea that it's actually Vault-Tec's view of the world falling apart, because it's when the residents realize that there's life out there, but they're hiding in because what they're trying to do. That one guy, Bud, was obsessed with the idea of time, because time is Vault-Tec's weapon and they want to outlive their enemies. And this is all because of an amazing piece of history, like alternate history, you know, like from the Cold War, you know, about communists and about USA, about capitalism and communism. It's that clash of ideology what made Vault-Tec realize about what they were trying to do.
Yeah, and that visualization of the projector literally burning away, the facade being stripped back, you know, the red curtain burning down, that kind of idea, it's all over that. I mean, that first episode, you're straight in it, you're immediately hooked.
Yeah,
and
I
will say that in that first episode, I was a little bit like, okay, Lucy's story, this is great. I don't know what's happening with I wasn't hooked by Maximus until like we get to episode 2, and I was like, okay, this is actually very interesting. But I must say, if I didn't know Fallout, I would still have been just as hooked by that first episode. It didn't take a couple of episodes to get into it. It was straight in. Before we finish, I do have an email here from Samuel Masson, who says, good morning, Vault-Tec calling. This series is phenomenal, and I loved every second of it. I was very cautious because, as we all know, video game adaptations are very rarely good, but this series is not one of those. It's awesome. I've only played Fallout 4. Man's got taste. Man has taste.
Yes, yes.
So I have
taste, yeah.
So I have some knowledge, but not loads. Right from the first scene when the nukes start dropping, I was hooked. Seeing this new and weird, futuristic but familiar 50s-style city get blown away drew me straight in. The environments are so well designed here. There's a sense of age and deterioration, but a world that is dirty and lived in and teeming with its own new life. It wasn't just CGI noise. So many tones and themes are used throughout the series. It's sci-fi, western, post-apocalyptic, dark humor, and more. It blends together and gels well. It didn't feel jarring. Lucy going out into the world after her life of vault training was pure fish out of water. And it was hilarious. When she got tied up by the ghoul and she says, "Hey, the golden rule, do to others as you would want done to you." And he just goes, "Nah." Speaking of the ghoul, what a character. And his theme is iconic. That goes straight into the Spotify playlist. Episode 1 sets up a lot of questions, and the beauty about that is that they all get answered by the end of the series. Who is the ghoul and what's his story? Why is Vault 32 the way it is? You slowly get the answers, but it's answered well because you feel like you earn those answers. Lucy Purnell was a great lead. Walton Goggins was amazing. Aaron Moton did a good job too. Matt Berry as Mr. Handy was perfect casting, and I loved his time as the robot. And Johnny Pemberton as Thaddeus was fun too. Can you believe he's 42 years old? That's mad. I think what I'm trying to say is that the casting for this series was great. The use of the 50s music made it feel just like the games. Walking through the wasteland listening to my Pip-Boy. So, so good. And New Vegas too. If I had one slight complaint, and speaking to others about this, I seem to be the only one to think this, there are just some shots where the power armor just looks bad. Some shots feel like it's in the room with you, and some it's the CGI blob. And even then, it's just a shot of it standing still. Overall, Fallout was a brilliant series, and I cannot wait to dive back into the games, learn more about the lore, and bring on series 2. Fallout is a 9 out of 10. Thanks for the hard work you put in, gents. Take care, Sam. And he's provided a meme.
Yes!
And it says, Lucy trying to break her Vault-Tec way of life to the world, but a guy's foot has just been blasted off. And it's just that picture of the puppet looking sideways. Love that.
Brilliant. Thank you, Sam.
It's visual storytelling now. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you for the meme and thank you for the email. They're really amazing. That's one thing we forgot about, which was the music. I love the 1950s aesthetic. They really implemented that, and they haven't forgotten the idea of the American dream, you know, that 1950s dreamy aesthetic.
Yeah, I think that the music really does anchor it to our reality in a really interesting way. I do want to kind of tackle what Sam was saying about the armor. And obviously, I've already said that I loved the armor and when it was practical. And yeah, there are definitely some shots where it is CGI. I think it's not a huge deal for me because this is, you know, a TV show in its first season. I would expect that as we keep on going, it would get a bit better as budgets increase. I think as well, there is the factor of a lot of shows and films, you know, they go for that CGI route. So the fact that this show, it even tried to do practical stuff for the most part, I think that's fantastic. And I think that those moments really shine out over the CGI heavy parts. You can see the passion on display. And I think they really nailed it.
Yeah, please do play the Fallout games. They add so much to the show, but the show does offer a lot more.
It was so brilliant. What are you going to give Fallout out of 10?
I'm going to have it give it a 9. It's very close to a 10. Very good.
Yes,
show.
I agree. 9 out of 10. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you're listening on YouTube and you enjoyed, you can give us a like and subscribe if you want to see more. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, you can follow and give us a 5-star review if you think we're worthy. Next week, we're going to be continuing our video game trend. We're doing Knuckles, which we're so excited for.
Knuckles!
Yeah, so go back, listen to our Sonic 1 and 2 videos. We were so
hyped about that, didn't we? Yeah, there it is.
I've got my Sonic poster up on my wall.
Oh my god. Sonic 2 so excited was actually peak.
Absolutely. I'm definitely going to be rewatching them before the third one. Yeah. But yes, we'll be recording next Saturday, so let us know your thoughts on Knuckles by then, and we will answer it right here on the podcast next week.
Yes, and you can follow us on Instagram at OutTimeFieldPod to see our incredible thumbnails from Zane Aspel, on Twitter for more thoughts from Tom, and TikTok to see Editor Clips visual, also on Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts. And you can find links to that all in the description below. Thanks to L. James Mayer for the excellent theme, and Roman Phillips for vocals as always. And I think that's everything.
Almost everything. Don't forget to follow John on Twitter as well.
Yes, that's new.
You got to add that to your spiel.
Yeah, got to add that as well. All right. Take what you're given.
Give nothing back.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.